Chapter 15, Urban America, 1865 to 1896. Why it matters. European and Asian immigrants arrived in the United States in great numbers during the late 1800s. Providing cheap labor, they made rapid industrial growth possible. They also helped populate the growing cities. The immigrants' presence affected both urban politics and labor unions. Reactions to immigrants and to an urban society were reflected in new political organizations and in literature and philosophy. The impact today. Industrialization and urbanization permanently influenced American life. The United States continues to be a magnet for immigrants seeking a better way of life. The cities of the United States continue to draw new residents in search of opportunity. Section 1. Immigration. An American Story. In 1894, the day the steamer tickets arrived for the Hay family, Hannah Hay became an instant celebrity in her small village in Russian-occupied Poland. Hannah's husband had left for the United States 3 years earlier to prepare a new home for the Hay family in Boston. Now that Hannah had received the tickets, she and her four children would finally be able to join him. A stream of curious visitors began to pour into the house. Hannah's daughter, Mary, then 13 years old, described the crowd. They wanted to handle the ticket, and Mother must read them what is written on it. Were we not all going to have new dresses to travel in? Was it sure that we could get kosher food on the ship? And with the questions poured in suggestions. Mother mustn't carry her money in a pocketbook. She must sew it into the lining of her jacket. Before the family left, they gave away almost all their belongings and spent their last night at an uncle's home. "I did not really sleep," recalled Mary. "Excitement kept me awake, and my aunt snored hideously. In the morning, I was going away from Polotsk forever and ever. I was going on a wonderful journey. I was going to America. How could I sleep?" Adapted from Witnessing America. Europeans flood into the United States. By the 1890s, more than half of all immigrants in the United States were Eastern and Southern Europeans, including Italians, Greeks, Poles, Slavs, Slovaks, Russians, and Armenians. Like the Hay family, many of the 14 million immigrants who came to the United States between 1860 and 1900 were Eastern European Jews. Europeans abandoned their homelands and headed to the United States for many reasons. Many poor rural farmers came simply because the United States had plenty of jobs available and few immigration restrictions. Yet Europe in the late 1800s offered plenty of jobs in its booming industrial cities, so economic factors were not the only reason people migrated. Many moved to avoid forced military service, which in some nations could last for many years. Others, especially Jews living in Poland and Russia, fled to avoid religious persecution. By the late 1800s, most European states had made moving to the United States easy. Immigrants were allowed to take their savings with them, and most countries had repealed old laws that had forced peasants to stay in their villages and had banned skilled workers from leaving the country. At the same time, moving to the United States offered a chance to break away from Europe's class system and move to a democratic nation where they had a chance to move up the social ladder. The Atlantic Voyage. Getting to the United States was often very difficult. Most immigrants booked passage in steerage, the most basic and cheapest accommodations on a steamship. Edward Steiner, an Iowa clergyman who posed as an immigrant in order to write a book on immigration, described the miserable quarters. Narrow, steep, and slippery stairways led to it. Crowds everywhere, ill-smelling bunks, uninviting washrooms. This is steerage. The odors of scattered orange peelings, tobacco, garlic, and disinfectants, meeting but not blending. No lounge or chairs for comfort, and a continual babble of tongues. This is steerage. The food, which is miserable, is dealt out of huge kettles into the dinner pails provided by the steamship company. When it is distributed, the stronger push and crowd. Quoted in World of Our Fathers. At the end of a 14-day journey, the passengers usually disembarked at Ellis Island, a tiny island in New York Harbor. There, a huge three-story building served as the processing center for many of the immigrants arriving on the East Coast after 1892. Ellis Island. Most immigrants passed through Ellis Island in about a day. They would not soon forget their hectic introduction to the United States. A medical examiner who worked there later described how, hour after hour, shipload after shipload, the stream of human beings with its kaleidoscope variations was hurried through Ellis Island by the equivalent of Step Lively in every language of the earth. In Ellis Island's enormous hall, crowds of immigrants filed past the doctor for an initial inspection. Whenever a case aroused suspicion, an inspector wrote, the alien was set aside in a cage apart from the rest, and his coat lapel or shirt marked with colored chalk to indicate the reason for the isolation. About one of five newcomers was marked with an H for heart problems, K for hernias, SC for scalp problems, or X for mental disability. Newcomers who failed the inspection might be separated from their families and returned to Europe. Geography. Ethnic cities. Many of those who passed the Ellis Island inspections settled in the nation's cities. By the 1890s, immigrants made up significant percentages of some of the country's largest cities, including New York, Chicago, Milwaukee, and Detroit. Jacob Rice, a Danish-born journalist, observed in 1890 that a map of New York City, colored to designate nationalities, would show more stripes than on the skin of a zebra. In the cities, immigrants lived in neighborhoods that were often separated into ethnic groups, such as Little Italy or the Jewish Lower East Side in New York City. There, they spoke their native languages and recreated the churches, synagogues, clubs, and newspapers of their homelands. How well immigrants adjusted depended partly on how quickly they learned English and adapted to American culture. Immigrants also tended to adjust well if they had marketable skills or money, or if they settled among members of their own ethnic group. As many as one in three immigrants returned to Europe shortly after coming to the United States. Some had never planned to stay and had come simply to make a little money before returning home. Reading check. Explaining. How did immigration affect demographic patterns in the United States? Asian immigration to America. Many Chinese immigrants began crossing the Pacific to arrive in the United States in the mid-1800s. By that time, China's population had reached about 430 million, and the country was suffering from severe unemployment, poverty, and famine. The 1848 discovery of gold in California began to lure Chinese immigrants to the United States. The following year, the Taiping Rebellion erupted in their homeland. This insurrection against the Chinese government took some 20 million lives and caused such suffering that thousands of Chinese left for the United States. In the early 1860s, as the Central Pacific Railroad began construction of its portion of the Transcontinental Railroad, the demand for railroad workers further increased Chinese immigration. Chinese immigrants mainly settled in Western cities, where they often worked as laborers or servants or in skilled trades. Others worked as merchants. Because native-born Americans kept them out of many businesses, some Chinese immigrants opened their own. To save enough to buy his own laundry, one immigrant, Li Chu, had to work for 2 years as a servant. I did not know how to do anything, and I did not understand what the lady said to me, but she showed me how to cook, wash, iron, sweep, dust, make beds, wash dishes, clean windows, paint, and brass, polish the knives and forks, etc., by doing the things herself and then overseeing my efforts to imitate her. Quoted in A Sunday Between Wars. Another group of Asians, the Japanese, also immigrated to the United States. Until 1900, however, their numbers remained small. Japanese immigration spiraled upward between 1900 and 1910 as Japan began building both an industrial economy and an empire. Both developments disrupted the economy of Japan and caused hardships for its people, thus stimulating emigration. Until 1910, Asian immigrants arriving in San Francisco first stopped at a two-story shed at the wharf. As many as 500 people at a time were often squeezed into the structure, with Chinese immigrants from Canton called mukuk or wooden house. In January 1910, California opened a barracks on Angel Island to accommodate the Asian immigrants. Most of the immigrants were young males in their teens or 20s who nervously awaited the results of their immigration hearings in dormitories packed with double or triple tiers of bunks. This unpleasant delay could last for months. On the walls of the detention barracks, the immigrants wrote anonymous poems in pencil or ink. Some even carved their verse into the wood. Reading check. Making generalizations. Why did Chinese immigrants come to the United States? The resurgence of nativism. Eventually, the wave of immigration led to increased feelings of nativism on the part of many Americans. Nativism is an extreme dislike for foreigners by native-born people and a desire to limit immigration. It had surfaced earlier in the 1800s during another large wave of immigration. In the 1840s and 1850s, it had focused primarily on Irish immigrants. Now, anti-immigrant feelings focused on Asians, Jews, and Eastern Europeans. Nativists opposed immigration for many reasons. Some feared that the influx of Catholics from Ireland and Southern and Eastern Europe would swamp the mostly Protestant United States, giving the Catholic Church too much power in the American government. Many labor unions also opposed immigration, arguing that immigrants would work for low wages or accept work as strikebreakers, thus undermining American-born workers. Prejudice against newcomers. In the Northeast and Midwest, increased feelings of nativism led to the founding of two major anti-immigrant organizations. One, called the American Protective Association, claimed to have 500,000 members in 1887. The organization's founder, Henry Bowers, despised Catholics and foreigners and committed his group to stopping immigration. Membership peaked at about 2 million, but declined rapidly after the economic recession of 1893 ended. In the West, where sentiment against the Chinese was very strong, widespread racial violence erupted. Dennis Kearney, himself an Irish immigrant, organized the Working Man's Party of California in the 1870s to fight Chinese immigration. The party won seats in California's legislature and made opposition to Chinese immigration a national issue. Impact of the anti-immigrant movement. Even though several presidents vetoed other laws that would have stemmed the steady flow of new immigrants, prejudice against immigrants stimulated the passage of a new federal law. Enacted in 1882, the law banned convicts, paupers, and the mentally disabled from immigrating to the United States. The new law also placed a 50-cent head tax on each newcomer. That same year, Congress passed the Chinese Exclusion Act. The law barred Chinese immigration for 10 years and prevented the Chinese already in the country from becoming citizens. The Chinese in the United States did not accept the new law quietly. They protested that white Americans did not oppose immigration by Italians, Irish, or Germans. Some Chinese organized letter-writing campaigns, petitioned the president, and even filed suit in federal court. These efforts, however, proved fruitless. Congress renewed the Chinese Exclusion Act in 1892 and then made it permanent in 1902. In 1890, the number of Chinese living in the United States totaled 105,000. By 1900, that total had dropped to just above 74,000. In the 40 years after the passage of the Act, the Chinese population in the United States continued to decrease. The Act was not repealed until 1943. Reading check. Explaining. Why did the federal government pass the Chinese Exclusion Act?